Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever really thought about how, like, a tiny difference in how your brain's wired could massively change something like memory? Today, we're doing a deep dive into this really fascinating study on agenesis of the corpus callosum, AGCC for short. It's basically a condition where the brain's two halves, aren't fully connected.
Yeah, and what's really interesting here, this research from Neuropsychologia, it looks right at how this specific brain difference affects memory, both verbal and visual memory. Our goal today is really to pull out the key insights, how that connection or lack of it helps or hinders learning and remembering things, and hopefully make it make sense fast.
Okay, so before we get into the study itself, maybe just a quick grounding. What exactly is AGCC for someone who might not be familiar?
Right. So AGCC is a condition you're born with, congenital. It means the corpus callosum, that's the main bundle of nerve fibers connecting the left and right hemispheres of your brain. It's either missing entirely or it's only partially formed. It's not super common, maybe 1 in 4,000 births, something like that. And the intriguing part is many people with AGCC have, totally normal general intelligence, but they often face these very specific cognitive challenges. And that's what this study was looking into.
Right. And how did the researchers actually set up the study to sort of zero in on these memory issues?
They had a pretty clear comparison. They took 30 people with AGCC, making sure their IQ was 78 or above, so avoiding severe intellectual disability, but capturing a range, and matched them with 30 healthy control participants, matched for age and IQ, which is important. Then they used parts of a standard test, the Wechsler Memory Scale, the WMS-3, to check different kinds of memory.
Okay, so things like remembering stories, maybe lists of words.
Exactly. For verbal memory, they looked at logical memory, that's recalling stories, and verbal paired associates, which is learning unrelated word pairs, like apple car. And for visual memory, they use visual reproduction, remembering abstract designs and faces, which is, well, remembering human faces.
Got it. So what jumped out when they looked at the verbal memory results?
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting. The AGCC group, they did worse than the controls when trying to remember those unrelated word pairs, both immediately and after a delay. They also weren't quite as good at immediately recalling the main themes from the stories they heard.
Okay, so that sounds like a definite challenge, but you said it gets interesting. Was there a twist?
There was, and it's a big one. When it came to remembering specific details from the stories or recalling the themes after a time delay, there was no significant difference between the AGCC group and the controls. It strongly suggests that the context baked into a story, the meaning and the connections already there, really helps people with AGCC hang on to that information.
Wow, so context acts like a kind of memory scaffold for them. That's fascinating. What about the visual side? Did they see similar patterns?
Somewhat similar, yeah. The AGCC group had significantly more trouble with delayed recall for faces. Remembering faces later on was harder for them. And that fits with other research showing facial processing can be tricky in AGCC.
But was it all visual memory?
No, and that's the key thing again. They perform just like the controls when remembering those abstract figures, and also when recalling faces immediately. So it suggests it's something about the complexity, maybe the social aspect of faces, especially over time, that makes it more demanding without that strong connection between hemispheres. It's not just visual, but the type of visual info.
Okay, so pulling it all together, the study basically found more memory impairments, clinically significant ones, in the AGCC group across most tests. What's the bigger picture interpretation here?
Well, it really highlights that people with AGCC can learn and remember new things, absolutely. But they face these very specific task-dependent hurdles. It's not a general memory loss. The paper offers a couple of ways to think about why. One is about hemispheric specialization. The corpus callosum is crucial for linking up specialized areas in each hemisphere. Think about those unrelated word pairs you need to kind of force a link. Or integrating the visual processing of a face with maybe verbal labels or associations, that crosstalk is harder.
Right, that makes sense. And the other explanation.
The other idea is about processing resource limitations. Maybe having AGCC means there's just sort of less robust network capacity available. So information that's really complex or totally new and unstructured, like those word pairs, or subtle differences between faces, it might just overload the system more easily than, say, a story that already has a clear structure or a simple abstract design. It's about cognitive load.
Which is relevant for everyone, really. And it's worth pointing out, you mentioned variability, right? Not everyone with AGCC performed poorly.
Exactly. Despite these group trends, some individuals with AGCC scored perfectly well, even in the superior range on some tasks. So there are definitely other factors, maybe brain plasticity, different wiring strategies, influencing things beyond just the absence of the corpus callosum. The brain is amazing at finding workarounds.
Absolutely. So stepping back, what does this research really tell us about learning and memory more broadly?
I think it really underscores the subtle but vital role of that interhemispheric communication, the corpus callosum, for efficient learning, especially when information is complex or lacks that built-in context. It makes you wonder, how can knowing about these specific strengths like memory for context-rich info and weaknesses help us tailor learning approaches? Not just for AGCC, but maybe for optimizing memory for all of us.
Yeah, that's a great point. And maybe something for you, the listener, to think about is this. How does the way information is presented to you affect how well you remember it? Think about when something has context versus when it's just, you know, dry facts. Does that change how well it sticks in your mind? And what could you do to maybe build that context yourself when you're learning something new?